Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. To say the brain massage show is thought-provoking is like saying the hydrogen bomb makes a lot of noise. Both true and both way understated. Stay tuned. Your brain is about to get a massage. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my dear friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Folks, I've been feeling a bit puny lately. That always reminds me of a fella I worked for some years ago who weighed in at a cool 350 to 400. Huge fella, but great man. Great preacher, who's who and all that. In any event, he would call us together for staff meeting, and if he felt a little under the weather, he'd say, "I'm feeling puny today, boys." Anyway, no, don't worry. I come in at about 180. All right. In any event, bear with me today. I feel a bit under the weather. Whatever's been going around is nipping at my heels, too. I'm staying a step or two ahead of it, but it does take a bite every now and then. But let's get on with it. Happy Valentine's Day. Some chick on the radio was advising us to avoid open or public displays of "You're my Valentine" at work for various reasons, and among them this, that someone who has had a bad relationship might get their feelings hurt. Well, that caught my attention. We're supposed to be sensitive, a la sauvage, and avoid hurting someone's feelings. Anyway, aside from any concern we might have for disrupting the work environment with our personal relationship dramas, I wonder if this trend in our culture, this notion that you have to stop living because someone else had a hard life. You know, what? So couples with children ought not to talk about their children to couples who don't have them or who can't have them? What's that about? Perhaps they should also keep them out of sight on Father's Day or Mother's Day? What's this about? So we're supposed to be sensitive to the feelings of others and hide our own enjoyment of the pleasures and joys of our lives that we do get to enjoy so as not to offend those who have some difficulties or however, have you noticed that if a couple of guys whose affections are inordinate, we generally use that word to mean excessive, but in the Bible, it refers specifically to what is out of the ordinary, outside proper limits, something that's also called vile affection. Same word translated inordinate affection is translated vile affections. And here where vile refers to what is morally bad, wicked, or tending toward evil. It's also translated evil concupiscence, which, of course, refers to strong desires that tend toward evil. And what I mean here is that the Creator has given us the capacity for affection and expects us to steward this impulse and keep these affections within divinely appointed limits and to direct them in ways that serve righteousness and good and not evil. However, we have the capacity, you see, to let these go astray from those limits and allow them to corrupt us in evil desires, which evil desires releases evil actions in the world and evil into the world, consequences, and that corrupt the conscience of men and women, and pervert their relationships, and alienates them from their Creator and brings all kinds of problems. Oh yeah, now here's my point. Homosexuality embraced in any culture corrupts that culture and necessarily leads to disease, the corruption and perversion of natural affections, and finally, to oppression. Really, watch. So we're supposed to ignore the natural gag reflex one experiences when his or her sensibilities, natural sensibilities, are exposed to the unnatural act or sight of men kissing men or women kissing women. And of course, I mean in a sexual manner. And if we are offended at such wanton contradiction of the natural order by this inordinate display, well, then we're criticized, ridiculed, so forth. You know the routine out there. But we who have natural affection are being counseled to hide it in public out of concern we might offend someone who recently had a breakup. Now, the point might be a bit obscure for some, but I think my elite audience can follow it. What's happening to this country? On the one hand, we say out of sensitivity to people who had a bad relationship, we ought to hide the enjoyment of our natural, wholesome, and proper affections. And on the other hand, 81 sensitivities notwithstanding, we are supposed to suppress the gag evoked by unnatural, vile, and inordinate displays of affection in public. Now, I hope you're getting this, because this is only the beginning. I have said it many times, the homosexual movement corrupts and perverts everything it touches. Accepting homosexuality necessarily leads to oppression of what is good and the encouragement of what is evil. You know, so the gays want to freely display their perverse affections openly before all, but those whose affections are natural and pure are encouraged to avoid open displays of their affections for fear of hurting someone's feelings. It's bizarre, but more is coming. The farther down this road we go, the more natural affection will be oppressed and unnatural affection will be liberated. Yeah, that's it. The liberation of unnatural affection necessarily leads to the oppression and the suppression of natural affection. Watch. Now, I know many of you have trouble seeing this, but I only require or ask that you remember that I said it. I only ask that you begin watching with your eyes open. Pay attention. You're going to notice that natural affection will increasingly disappear from the public square. Before too long, the only public displays that will be considered norms and acceptable will be perverted behaviors, such as homosexuality, whoremongering, whoring, and all that kind of thing. They keep pushing the gay marriage thing. They won't let up. You know, I feel like we are in the early days of the legalization of abortion. At first, there was so much confusion over whether the baby in the womb was a person from conception that they got away with legalizing the murder of millions. I mean, well over 50 million to date, with a million more being added to that number every year. However, only lately, finally, people are beginning to wake up. The eyes of the country are blinking, I mean, trying to focus on the light, the blinding light of the revelations coming up, such as the fact that we know now that these babies feel the pain of the scalding saline solution and the butchering of their little bodies by the scalpel, or the tearing of their limbs to pieces with the, I forget what those things are called, forceps, no? Anyway, those things are being sucked apart by the vacuum. These acts are brutal acts of murder, and people are beginning to think, wait a minute here, what's going on? All the false science about homosexuality, the lies about them being born that way, the lies about it being nothing but an alternative lifestyle. I mean, pick one. And then being all about just loving who you want to love. That's all a pack of lies. No one denies to anyone the right to love whom they want to love. You see? But these perverse, warped people, they have totally sexualized love. They sexualize every loving relationship. They can't love anyone, or frankly, anything, without sexualizing that relationship. You know, the Man-Boys Love Association? It's not about love. It's about sex with boys. The pedophile who sexualizes his love for children, the men who sexualize their love for men, the women who sexualize their love for another woman. This culture's nonsensical equating of love with sex has created an environment that perverts relationships, perverts love. Sex is for a man and a woman who are married in a bond that creates a stable foundation for family. I mean, hey, you know, the population is made up of male and female, or have you ever noticed? One of each is needed to create a child, and one of each is needed to nurture a child to live in such a world populated with males and females. Now, you mess that up and you destroy the foundation of social order and you foment inordinate affection. Not only is it the case that no one says you can't love whom you will, the fact is, listen, no one says you can love anyone you want. No one says that. Not in the context of what they mean by the word love, quote, unquote, love, okay, the way they use it. No one says, these people don't say that. You pack of liars, pretending that those of us who believe unnatural homosexual relationships are wrong and ought not to be encouraged in society are trying to place limits on you about who you can love. What about you hypocrites? Because you also put limits on whom anyone can love, even when it's understood in your meaning of the word. You don't believe a 60-year-old man ought to be loving a 9-year-old little girl, do you? Oh, you're not a fan of Muhammad, eh? You hypocrites, you lying scoundrels, you stick your finger in my face, Mr. Obama and Mrs. Michelle Obama, and the rest of you, and you talk about me denying to someone the right to love whomever they will. I get sick of this nonsense, you bunch of hypocrites. You set limits, don't you? You say it's wrong to love your dog, don't you? No way you're using the word love. You say it's wrong to love your pig, don't you? You say it's wrong for one man to marry 2, 3, or 4 women, don't you? Oh no, I forgot. You're really friendly with Islam. So maybe you think that's okay. So you limit it to 4 then, all right? 5 is wrong, but 4 is okay. My point is you set some limits. The minute you do, your own argument accuses you of hypocrisy. So look at the mirror, friend. How dare you say 3 men can't love 5 women and come back together to make a family, right? Quote, unquote, family. Who are you to deny a marriage license to a woman who wants to marry her horse or dog, or a man who wants to marry his pig? You all set limits. Every one of you. You all believe in limiting who you can love in the way you're using the word. Or do you? Is that the dirty little secret to come out next? That really you don't put any limits? You see, you all believe it's wrong for a man to marry his sister, right? Huh? Who are you to deny them that love? Who are you to say, hey, isn't, by the way, isn't that something we find in the Bible? Not to marry, not to inbreed like that? That bit about not marrying near kin? Oh, yeah, it is. Well, isn't that then the best reason in the world to let men marry their sisters? Or even to let daughters marry their fathers? Or sons to marry their mothers? I mean, come on, where does this end? In Paul's day, the apostle complained that the Corinthians were complacent about a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. And look, listen to what he said. Not even the heathen put up with that. Well, according to your argument for gay marriage, why not? Who are you to say that a man cannot, quote, unquote, love his father's wife? Who are you to say a man cannot love his mother or even his father in the way you use the word? So the Bible says it's wrong for brothers to marry sisters and fathers to marry daughters and sons to marry mothers. And it also says it's wrong for men to lay with a man or for a man to lay with a man as with a woman. Now, you keep part of what the Bible says and throw out the other. But then you say, oh, no, no, no. We know that there are physical consequences from inbreeding. Oh, really? Well, guess what? There are serious physical consequences to same-sex behavior also. AIDS being only one of many diseases afflicting them. And that brings me to my conclusion for segment number one. The gays want to celebrate Valentine's Day openly and publicly, and if it offends someone who considers that unnatural and vile, well, too bad. But heteros, you know, who want to display their natural affection, are cautioned to be careful not to offend anyone who's had a difficulty in their relationships. Something's very wrong here. And I'll tell you something else. I, for one, getting tired of the perverted in our society putting their stink of their corruption on what is pure and wholesome. Today, you know, if a couple of guys go to a restaurant together, you get the wink, wink, are you together? And it's offensive to natural men. I think you should rebuke these fellows, these people, and just tell them they've got a dirty mind. When two men show up at a theater now, it's automatically assumed that they must be gay. It used to be the assumption was that you were normal, and suspicion otherwise required some other signal. Embracing homosexuality, however, necessarily results in corrupting the conscience and perverting the minds of the community generally. That's what it does. Okay, I got to take a break. Another judge strikes down a duly enacted law banning homosexual marriage as unconstitutional. I believe this one was in Virginia. You know, it took us decades to finally break through the shroud of lies placed over the eyes of the American people on the issue of abortion. And we are only now beginning to get some significant traction towards stopping that atrocity, that hellish holocaust of infanticide. How long will it take us to break through the darkness of lies and deceit that hangs now over the minds of so many Americans about the issue of homosexuality, before they will begin to see the truth about that disease-ridden, conscience-corrupting, morally degrading, culture-cursing, family-destroying, evil, wicked behavior? All right, I guess I made myself clear on this point. I'll be right back.
Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Enjoying your brain massage experience? Do you wish everyone could? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Compromise of personal preferences or self-interests to serve some higher good is honorable, but some think compromise is the answer to all disagreements. A dispute between two women over who was the mother to a baby was brought to Solomon. He ordered a compromise: have the baby divided and give each mother half. Obviously, some things allow for no acceptable compromise. In those cases, compromise only works to the advantage of evil. For example, instead of obeying the Lord and coming out of an apostate church, you compromise the truth. Why should our children respect our beliefs if we don't? Something to think about. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I warned you at the opening of last segment, I'm just a little under the weather today, but I think we'll muddle through. So in the last segment, I spoke to the fact that Americans today are being lied to about homosexuality, as we were about abortion. We're also being lied to about the agenda of the gay activist community, and we're being lied to about the horrors of that whole lifestyle. But I forgot to mention a great resource for you where you can get the truth. Of course, you can listen to moi, but you can also go to www.americansfortruth.com. What do I have in my stack here? You know, I don't seem to be able to get away from this topic today, do I? So I guess I'm going to have to address the latest GOP white flag waving ceremony over amnesty and the national debt later on. But anyway, Bobby Jindal made some waves in a recent speech he gave at the Reagan Library. From Newsmax, quote, Jindal warns of silent war on religion in Reagan Library speech, end quote. He described it this way, quote, it's a war against the propositions in the Declaration of Independence. It is a war against the spirit that motivated abolitionism. It is a war against the faith that motivated the civil rights struggle. It is a war against the soul of countless acts of charity. It is a war against the conscience that drives social change. It is a war against the heart that binds our neighborhoods together. It is a war against America's best self at America's best moment. It is a war, a silent war, against religious liberty, end quote. Now, I like this point that when Reagan said, quote, freedom is not the sole prerogative of a chosen few, but the universal right of all God's children, end quote, that Reagan was not, quote, expressing a strictly personal belief in the nature of man as a created being, as a child of God. He was reaffirming the most basic contention of the American founding, set forth in the Declaration of Independence, that we are a nation constituted in accordance with the laws of nature and of nature's God, and that we are a people endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. End quote. It's very, very well said, Jindal, and he further reminded his audience that as early as 1798, John Adams said, quote, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other, end quote. Apart from the Baalistic notion that Jindal expressed, and that is expressed in Reagan's quote, that everyone is a child of God. Biblically, that is not true. Every man is a created being by God and endowed with his image and likeness and with the inalienable rights equal to all others. But spiritually, the Bible makes it clear there are children of the devil and there are children of God. So let's make this distinction clear, shall we? And that distinction is made clear in 1 John 3, verse 10. In this, quote, in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, but neither he that loveth not his brother, end quote. Now, of course, we understand the idea of righteousness in this verse from within its context, or from a biblical point of reference, of course. Otherwise, from what I establish in the trend we see developing in culture today regarding the confusion of sex with love, well, we'd blush at the statement, neither he that loveth not his brother, wouldn't we? But the right understanding of this verse is that those who disregard the laws of nature and of nature's God are not children of God. Now, I must repeat myself, otherwise some will jump to confusions, as my dear friend Mike Metz would say. I'm not saying there are two classes of citizens in America, one class that does not have the divine endowment of unalienable rights, and another one that does. All men are created equal with certain unalienable rights. I am saying, however, that the designation of all men as children of God is, well, loose, to say the least. Among Christians, some who espouse this idea, they pick it up from Acts 17, 28-29, where all mankind is said to be the, quote, offspring of God, end quote. Now, in that passage, Paul was quoting a heathen poet, and the reason he quoted him was to make a point that it's absurd for the heathen to worship images and trees and rocks and all that, since their own poets recognize that men are the production of God, his offspring, and that we are made by God is the idea. But the language that distinguishes some of these offspring as children of their creator and others as children of the other guy, the devil, well, that's a different colored horse. Now, we expect politicians these days to be confused about some of these things, to be less than precise in their theological understanding. And so we understand the meaning of Reagan and of Jindal on this point. And we accept the meaning, the essential point, that we are all created by God and endowed equally with unalienable rights. But another thing I thought was interesting about Jindal's speech was that he asked all the right questions, then proceeded not to answer them. Well, I mean, at least one of the questions. He asked three. First, why is this war happening? Second, what does it mean for the country and the people of faith? Third, why does it represent a fundamental challenge to our American identity and the exceptional history that makes our nation great? Well, he answered the second and the third question by offering some illustrations. He refers to Obama's assault on the Christian business owners of Hobby Lobby. That's right, Obama's government is suing Hobby Lobby. The Christian family that founded that company began their business statement of purpose with a Bible verse. Their stores are closed on Sundays. The company pays well above the minimum wage, by the way. He's given raises in salaries to his employees each of the last 4 years, and that's saying something in this economy. Also, the family gives way, and I'm talking way more to philanthropy than the Obama family does. You know, Obama's idea of philanthropy is to take your money, use a good portion of it to go on extravagant vacations and live it up like a king, and then distribute some little pennies to make cake for the poor to keep them under control. Obama is suing Hobby Lobby because they refuse to involve themselves in providing the morning after pill to their employees, believing that the purpose of this pill is to induce an abortion of a conceived child, to which they object as a matter of conscience. Now, this is where it segues into the point made in the first segment. See? See what I mean? Huh? Hey, there it is. In an environment of evil, good becomes unacceptable. It's like that truism that two separate objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Well, two opposing moral positions cannot occupy the same public space, let's say, at the same time. Now, I'm not saying people of different opinions cannot live together. What I'm saying is that two opposite moral forces competing for control of the paradigm of a culture and for dominance over a conscience cannot occupy the ascendancy at the same time. It won't happen. When one prevails, the other one fails. If the homosexual movement becomes the prevailing paradigm of this country, Christians will, of necessity, become the persecuted class, the disenfranchised, and they will be separated from their liberties. Because it's not possible in a society that says it's everyone's right to have abortifacients, to allow someone to deny that right to another. Following this? You see, and it's the character of evil men to become self-righteous, see, and to go further. In fact, it is necessary that they do so, that they go beyond the idea that everyone has a right to abortifacients, to no one has a right to deny abortifacients, to the next step, you must provide abortifacients. You see this? You understand what's going on? And this is something Christians seemingly do not understand about the nature of evil. You will never survive a truce with evil. In other words, you will not be able to negotiate a sort of truce where you say, okay, you believe you have a right to abortifacients and I don't. All right, fine. I won't interfere with you getting abortifacients, but don't compel me to provide them. See, that won't work. You know, you can say, how about you go ahead and use them if you choose to do so? But how about you leave me out of it and you get them on your own? That will not do, not when evil prevails. You see, now Christians will go along with stuff like that. And we've done so over and over and over in one issue after another, which is what's got us in trouble right now. Most of the argument of Christians is essentially, look, just don't make me a part of it, okay? Don't use my tax dollars to kill babies. Don't use my tax dollars to distribute condoms. Don't make me perform or assist in the performance of abortions. Don't force me to make cakes for homosexual weddings or to take pictures at the weddings, you know, Masterpiece Cake Shop in Denver, by the way, with making cakes for homosexual weddings. Don't censure my free speech when I want to speak against those things that I disagree with. Duck Dynasty, Chick-fil-A. Don't force me to hire people to work in my church school who don't believe what we teach, for heaven's sake, the Hosanna Tabor case. It goes on and on and on. You see, in each of these situations, it isn't enough that the Christian says, hey, that's your thing, but don't drag me into it. No. You see, if people have a right to marry whomever they will, if they have a right to murder their baby, then not only do you not have the right to interfere with that, but you are now compelled to violate your conscience and actually become a participant in making sure their rights are satisfied. Sin always requires the participation of the saint. Yeah. Listen, if you say, well, I find your lifestyle disgusting, but it's your business. Well, they're going to become angry with you. Why? Because their self-righteousness is going to be offended and they're going to feel oppressed by your biblical righteousness. In other words, they are self-righteous bigots. Yeah, a predilection of human nature, by the way. They are self-righteous bigots who will attack you viciously if you disagree with them. But the difference is that the children of the devil will actually attack you and then want to use laws to force you to participate in their sin. Yeah, do you see it? You're going to see it more and more. Those who refuse to participate in the sin are going to be looked on with disdain, accused of thinking themselves holier than thou, and the wicked will want to soil them, to dirty them, to drag them in, partly as a way of justifying themselves. The very people who decry others, forcing their religion on them, will force their irreligion on us. Watch. And what I want you to understand is this. That is the nature of evil. The just are an abomination to the wicked, and the wicked are an abomination to the just. Someone's moral paradigm is going to dominate any culture, and that moral paradigm is going to frame the context in which its laws are formed. In an evil society that proclaims people have a right to gay marriage, which is absurd, and a right to murder babies, which, again, unbelievable. But wait, you know what? Let's take this to another step. I want to try to help you see the point more clearly. Let's suppose this develops to the point where they are proclaiming that people have a right to marry their dogs or a right to murder their unwanted two-year-old terrors. In such a society, those who disagree not only will be forbidden from interfering with these people's right to do these things, but you watch, they will also lose their right to abstain from participation in it. If you are a doctor in such a society, you're going to be forced to participate in murdering the two-year-old terror. Eventually, they keep going after it, and after they're going to finally break it down, and that's what they're going to do, or move you out of the business. And if you make, wedding cakes, or if you do wedding photography, well, you're going to be forced to participate in the wedding of a man and his dog. Why? Because the self-righteous will insist upon it. And that brings me to the question Jindal did not answer. Why is this happening? It's happening because Christians have compromised with the world time and time again, strengthening the seed lies, watering the seeds of lies that Satan has planted in our culture that has produced this fruit. Just a sampling here. The lie that everyone worships the same God only by different names in different ways. Yeah, think about it for a little while, but if you think it through, you'll see that where that goes. The lie that it's judgmental to condemn the behavior of others based on biblical truth. You know, now they deny your right to even use the name of Jesus in prayer in some quarters. It's bizarre how this happens. And now they judge you by their standards of unrighteousness. Judges are saying the Constitution says whatever they want it to say, but long before that, Christians were saying the Bible means whatever anyone wants it to say. But it's also happening because Satan desires to maim, kill, and destroy. It's his thing, man. He hates mankind and desires to alienate man from God and bring them under divine wrath. He hates us for a whole host of reasons, but the main one is that the Creator gave to man something that he denied to the angels, and that is the image and likeness of God. Satan boasted, "I will be like the Most High," but God rejected him. And then he turned around and took dirt, made a man that was a little lower than the angels, and he impressed upon that creature the coveted gift. All right, I gotta go. Look, the bottom line is this. Two opposing beliefs, opposite beliefs, cannot both occupy the same space in a life, in a heart, or in a nation at the same time. One will inevitably displace the other. Whichever one prevails will tend toward deeming itself the good and the other as the evil. And today we are witnessing the fulfillment of the scripture that warns, quote, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter," end quote. "I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Say, lights on when you call, if you agree with what I'm saying. Lights off when you call, if you disagree." And the number to call, 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. But from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you may email me by going to our website. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. www.thebrainmassageshow.com. You know the drill. And if you're in a hurry, just give me a lights on. You click the lights on button and then say send. Or lights off and say send. But I prefer it when you write me a letter. And if you will, please leave me a message or write me a letter. Let me know what you think of the show today. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the Spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain.